Madhya Leela, Chapter 17, The Lord Travels to Vrindavan, Text Number 86. Prabhu Lala Gila Vishveshwara Darshane. Kaviyasi Devi Bindu Madhava Charane.
Kaviyasi Devi Bindu Madhava Charane.
Prabhu Lala.
Kela,
he went. Vishveshwara Darshane. To visit the temple of Vishveshwara. Therefore, Asi, coming, Dete, see, Vidhu Madhava Charane. Lotus feet of Bindu Madhava. Translation put forth by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Kapana Misra then took Lord Chaitanya to visit the temple of Vishveshwara. Coming from there, they saw the lotus feet of Lord Bindu Madhava. Purport. This Bindu Madhava is the oldest Vishnu temple in Varanasi. Presently, this temple is known as Venu Madhava, and is situated on the banks of the Ganges. Formerly, five rivers converged there, and they were named Dupa Papa, Kirna, Saraswati, Ganga, and Yamuna. Now only the river Ganges is visible. The old temple of Venu Madhava, which was visited by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was later dismantled by Aurangzeb, the great Hindu hater, emperor of the Mongol dynasty. In the temple of this place of this temple, he constructed a big majida, or mosque. Later another temple was constructed by the side of the mosque. This temple is still existing. The temple of Bindu Madhava, there are deities of four-handed Narayan and the goddess Lakshmi. In front of these deities is a column of Shri Garuda, and along the sides are deities of Lord Rama, Sita, Lakshmana, and Hanumanji. In the province of Maharashtra is a state known as Satara. During the time of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the native prince belonged to the Vaishnava cult. Being a Brahmana, he took charge of worshipping the deity. He was known as Srimate Balasadeva, Panta Maharaj. The state still bears the expenditure for temple maintenance. First king in the dynasty to take charge of worship in the temple 200 years ago was Maharaj Jagat Jivana Rao Sahiba. Text 87. With great pleasure, Tampa Misra brought Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to his home and rendered service unto him. Indeed, he began to dance, waving his cloth. He watched the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and afterwards he and his whole family drank the washed water. He also worshipped Balabhadra Bhattacharya and showed him respect. Mahamitra invited Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to take lunch at his home, and he had Balabhadra Bhattacharya cook. But Varanasi Banaras, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed at the house of Dipan Mishra. Near Dipan Mishra's house was a bathing god known as Panchanadi God. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to take his bath daily at this god. He used to see the temple of Bindu Madhava. Then he took his lunch at Dipan Mishra's house. Near Bindu Madhava's temple was a big binding tree, and it said that after eating, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to rest underneath the tree. The banyan tree is still known today as Chaitanya Vat. Jack gradually due to changes in language, the name became Yatana Vata. The local people still call that place Yatana Vata. Presently beside a lane, there is a tomb of Balabhadra Balabhacharya. but there is no sign that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ever lived there. Although Acharya was also known as Mahaprabhu among his disciples. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu probably lived at Yatanavada, but there is no sign of Chandrasekhar or the Prime Minister's house. Whereas there is a sign of Ayurveda Sannyasi, Prakashananda and the Saraswati, with whom Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discussed the Ananda Sutra. A little distance from Yatanavada is the temple of Gaurantai, established by Shashi Bhushna, the Yogi Mahashaya of Calcutta. This temple is now managed by the mother-in-law of Shashi Bhushna and his brother-in-law, Narayan Chandra Ghosh. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took his rest after lunch, the son of Tapan Vidra named Raghu used to massage his legs. Remnants of food left by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were taken by the whole family to Tapan Vidra. When news spread that the Lord had come, Chandrasekhar also came to see him. Chandrasekhar happened to be a friend of Tapan Vidra's, and he was long known as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as his servant. He was a physician by caste. By profession, he was a clerk. At the time, he was living in Varanasi. When Chandrasekhar came there, he fell down before the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and began to cry. The Lord, standing up, embraced him out of his causes mercy. Chandrasekhar said, "My dear Lord, you bestowed your causes mercy upon me because I am your old servant. Indeed, you have come here personally to give me your audience. Due to my past deeds, I am residing in Varanasi. But here I do not hear anything but the words Maya and Brahman." Purport. The word Parabdha, past deeds, is important in this verse. Since Chandrasekhar was a yogi, he was always eager to hear about Krishna and his transcendental pastimes. Most of the inhabitants of Banaris, were and are impersonalists, worshippers of Lord Shiva, and the followers of the Panchakoshana Vrit method. The impersonalists imagine that some form of the impersonal Brahman, and to facilitate meditation, they concentrate upon the form of Vishnu, Shiva, Ganesh, Surya, and the goddess Durga. Actually, these Panchakoshakas are not devotees of anyone. As it is said, "Be a servant of everyone is to be a servant of no one." Varanasi or Kasi is the chief holy place of pilgrimage for your personal, and is not at all suitable for devotees. A Vaishnava likes to live in a Vishnu Tirtha, a place where Lord Vishnu's temples are present. In Varanasi, there are many hundreds and thousands of Lord Shiva temples, or Panchakoshika temples. Consequently, Chandrasekhar expressed great unhappiness as he informed Lord Chaitanya that he was obliged to live at Banaras due to his past misdeeds. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it is also said, "Durjatya rambakam papam yatsyat paradam evaka." According to one's past misdeeds, one takes birth on a lower platform. In the Brahma Samhita 5:54, it is said, "Karmani nirahati kintu chabhati vajam." There is no karma attached to the past misdeeds. Past deeds or misdeeds of one in devotional service. Devotee is not subjected to karma pahala, the effect of true activity. Karma pahala is applicable to karmis, not bhaktis. There are three kinds of devotees: those who are eternally on the transcendental platform, Nityasiddha; those elevated to the transcendental platform by the execution of devotional service, Sadhana Siddha; and those who are neophytes, advancing towards the perfectional platform, Sadhana. The sadhakas are gradually becoming free from true reaction. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu describes the symptoms of Bhakti Yoga thus: "Klesha ki suvada moksha lavaka kakrit sudak sudurlava sadhrandananda vishvatma Sri Krishna karshni chasa." Devotional service is klesha agni, klesha jnana, community, even for beginners. This means that it reduces and nullifies all kinds of suffering. The word Subhadra indicates a devotional service bestows all good fortune, and the words Krishna and Parashini indicate that devotional service gradually attracts Krishna towards the devotee. Consequently, the devotee is not subject to any sinful reaction. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna 1866, Krishna says, Sarva dharma vrijanga mamekam sharanam vraja ahamvam sarva padeyo mokshi syamima suchaha. Then all varieties of religion, and just surrendering to me, I shall deliver you from all such reaction. Do not fear. This is a fully surrendered, sincere devotee. Thus, a fully surrendered, sincere devotee usually receives relief from all kinds of sinful reaction. There are three stages of purification for sinful activity. At one stage, one commits the sinful act. Before that, the seeds of this act exist. And before that, there is ignorance, thereby one commits the sin. Suffering is involved in all three stages. However, Krishna is merciful to his devotee, and consequently immediately nullifies all three stages. The sin, the seed of sin, and the ignorance, that leads one to contemplate the sin. Padma Purana confirms this. Aparada palapapam gudam gijam palam gudam kramenaiva padiyeta vishnu bhakti vartatmanam. For a further explanation of this, the nectar of devotion should be Here it explains that there are three different levels of devotees. The Nitya Siddha, the Sadhana Siddha, and the Sadhaka. And they have their symptoms. As Prabhupada's purport explains, that there are three different levels of devotion, namely Kanishadakari, well, here it's given, Sanabhakti, Sanabhakta, Bhavabhakta, and Premabhakta. We can understand that a fully pure devotee is considered at the beginning on the Bhavabhakta platform. And there are symptoms, if we're wondering what platform we're on. That sadhaka, or sadhaka by executing sadhana bhakti, there are two symptoms, namely subhada and kleshadmiya. Kleshadmiya. And they have their symptoms. If one is actually free from all kleshas, then there's full knowledge. Because the places start with vidya, and then there is vidya, tendency for sinful activity. So as long as one is attached to sinful activity, illicit sex, meat eating, gambling, intoxication, or even to eating, sleeping, mating, depending, then one should understand that this is a reaction to avidya, the desire for sinful activity. Of course, it's not that the devotees don't eat, but they only eat Krishna prasada. It's not that they don't sleep, but they think about Krishna when they're sleeping. Therefore, in the beginning, we're trying to come to the platform of liberation, at least. In the beginning, the devotees approach Krishna generally out of distress and devotional services. Krishna is Kleksha Abhimya. It frees one from distress, especially from the distress of desiring sinful activities, the tendency to speak of. And we'll speak of the other manifestations of sinful life, which are Papam, the actual sinful activities themselves, and the Parada and Aparada Karma, the reactions for sinful activities, plus the tendency to commit more sinful activity, kuttam, in the future, due to the distorted awake, paratha, karma. future devotional service, gravity leaves, miseries go away as our sinful desires go away and as our ignorance goes away. As we understand more and more of the science of Krishna consciousness, not only how to execute it externally, but also the proper vision of the devotee, how it's to see things, and what his motives of service. As we become more and more expert at these things, then Krishna reciprocates and gravity the sinful, everything connected with, as it says here, sinful activities goes away. Then, on the positive side, after we become actually free from most of our misery, and we want, and we're not so much attached to any material comfort, or pleasant circumstances, then we begin to inquire, actually, what is the actual goal of life? Because we get our gurums, ego, we got jet. Then we actually become inquisitive about how to make progress with spiritual life. And as we learn the science, we actually learn how to be liberated from all material concepts. Then the real devotional service begins when one is free from all misconceptions of misidentifying oneself with the body or not seeing things in relation to Krishna. Then the good qualities manifest themselves. Devotional service is subhada, and Prabhupada in the next devotion gives four qualities for subhada. Namely, it attracts everyone, is all auspicious, gives one all good quality, and it gives one higher pleasure than one experiences within the realm of material existence. So, with a higher taste, one not at all desires materialistic activities. Probably as an example, that a big professor at universities with many, many degrees cannot refrain from meat-eating intoxication or becoming a sex monk. But even a neophyte devotee who is not very advanced academically, but is engaged in devotional service, automatically becomes free from such tendencies. And therefore, they're much more elevated in consciousness than even the so-called scholars of the present society. And on the other hand, how do we know that it's all auspicious or it attracts everyone? It attracts everyone because we see an example of Lord Chaitanya, according to historical records. He went to the Jarakanda forest and he was dancing. And when he was dancing or chanting the names of Krishna, the tigers, the deer, the elephants, everyone was dancing and chanting with him. We may take it as mythology, but if we ourselves are personally hearing and chanting about Krishna and getting some pleasure from it, we can understand that if that pleasure was multiplied many times by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, then possibly even animals would dance and chant to it. Then when one becomes free from such, well, becomes elevated by association with Krishna, even at the sadhaka platform and becomes perfect and free from all sinful desires, then real devotional service begins. It's one thing to find out who we're not and theoretically to know who we are, but once we discover who we really are, then our spiritual activities begin. Our spiritual muscles begin to be developed. We start using them again. Bhava-bhakti. So Bhava-bhakti has two qualities, namely emotion, Lalukrit, that the happiness in Bhava Bhakti is so great that even the idea of a personal liberation, happiness there, the Lamar said, if one fraction of an atom in the ocean of devotional service was multiplied a million times, that would be not even if the amount of happiness of Brahman realization is multiplied millions of times, it would not be equal to an atomic fraction of one drop in the ocean of devotional service. So think about that for some time. So that's called moksha lava trip. Even that here moksha, which is not something insignificant, means the disappearance of any material problem. Think about how many problems we have. Just to get up in the morning is a problem. And to go to sleep at night is a problem. Everything is a problem. We're only faced with problems, and we're going to expect more problems in the future. Sounds pretty pessimistic, doesn't it? Therefore, if you want to be happy in the future, if you want to think of yourself happy in the future world, don't come to a Chaitanya Charitamrita class. But real happiness begins when we're free from all material conceptions of life, especially the conception of identifying ourselves with the body. Then our real conception, our real identity is revealed. And that happiness of understanding who we are probably is an example, just like you're in prison for many, many years, and suddenly they let you out, how much happiness you feel. Then there is the Sundaralava. It's rarely achieved because if one becomes a devotee of Krishna, actually devotee, then Krishna comes under one's control. And because Krishna is the supreme controller, it's a little dangerous. Therefore, Krishna doesn't allow everyone or anyone to control him, only his pure devotee. Therefore, he rarely gives it to a person unless they're actually sincerely, completely sincerely engaged in Krishna's service. When we're in the Bhava concept of life, naturally we have desires, material desire, we're attached to our material desire, because that's what the Bhava concept of life means. Therefore, Krishna came under and beat our control. We caused a lot of problems, not only for ourselves, but anyone else. Like Brihadasura, he asked Lord Shiva for a benediction, that whose every head he touched, he would immediately crack into thousands of pieces. So that benediction became a burden, not only to Brihadasura, but also to Lord Shiva, since Brihadasura wanted to touch his head, kill him, and take away his wife, Parvati. Therefore, we got too much influence and power, and we probably caused more problems for ourselves than anyone else. At least we probably get splitting headed, even if we didn't crack our heads. Then one is actually completely situated on the spiritual platform. Then one comes to the platform of prema bhakti. One ray of bhava bhakti multiplied millions of times with comes to bhava bhakti. And there one is fully engaged on spiritual identity and sundarananda vishayatma. So sundara means condensed, bliss. It means that one cannot even perceive material existence. It doesn't exist anymore. One is situated in blissful life. One is living in an ocean of happiness. And Krishna Parashini, Krishna becomes attracted to a devotee, just like a bumblebee is attracted to a lotus flower. At the stage of sadhana, what certainly is good qualities, Krishna becomes attracted to the good qualities of the devotee, but such good qualities don't control Krishna. At the stage of bhava bhakti, such qualities control Krishna, and at the stage of prema bhakti, when one has Krishna Parashini, Krishna becomes overwhelmed by the good qualities of the devotee. Similarly, this happiness at the stage of neophyte devotee, or sadhana. But at bhava bhakti, the happiness is so great that even liberation can't be compared to it. And at the stage of prema bhakti, the happiness is so great that one is not even aware of anything else but happiness. Everything merges into that state of happiness. Therefore, we should not become discouraged. At the same time, we should become too proud or too complacent, thinking we've achieved the goal, we're devotees, we have everything we want. Nor should we become discouraged that devotion service is such a high achievement. How can I possibly achieve it? No, it should be reasonable, and knowing the exalted goal and the great achievement that's attained, when one attains that goal, then we should steadily work towards trying to achieve it by following the process of Sarvabhakti. And we can understand how much we're advancing Sarvabhakti, how much we're free from our miseries of life. Not that the miseries of life don't happen, but the devotee who's asking Krishna consciousness can tolerate them more and more easily because he's not so much affected by the ups and downs of material existence. At the same time, all the qualities should develop a happiness when you feel more and more enlivened by devotional service, and it should attract one more and more. And one should understand how it's all auspicious. It makes one's life all auspicious. So, we'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Comments? One minute of silence. Yes. To some extent, yeah, otherwise I have to be devoted. Karma means they only work upon the karma for fruit activities. Devoted means at least I'm making an attempt to become devoted. So that means to that extent they're free from the karma. Because of the opportunity to participate in sadhana, that's freedom from karma. And as they sincerely try to hear and chant about Krishna without materialistic ideas or with materialistic aspiration, then they become more and more Krishna conscious. And by associating with Krishna, then as a blazing fire turns firewood to ashes, so does the fire transcendental knowledge burn to ashes all the accumulated reactions from one's previous activities. So as they become more and more associated with Krishna, more and more Krishna conscious, and blazing fire associated with Krishna will burn all our ignorance and misconceptions away.
Why we are seeing the kind of constant approach, not to see the fire of constant service?
Well, without service, we won't need the knowledge. Service brings the knowledge, brings Krishna consciousness. The service itself is not sufficient, it has to be consciousness too. Consciousness is not sufficient. It has to be service. So both of them. But if there is transcendental knowledge, automatically there's going to be transcendental service. If you realize yourself as Krishna's eternal servant, you won't have anything to do to serve Krishna. Anything else? Thank you very much. My dear Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Jiva, Srila Prabhupada, Jiva.